Matthew 9:13 says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This evening, I want us to consider the topic of compassion and mercy. I usually don't do word study sermons. I did one this morning. I need to do more of them to be better at conveying what we need to learn from these words. And hopefully we'll get some things from tonight's lesson that will help us through this week. I mentioned this morning the weather, and when I look out the window and it keeps looking different, and we've had a lot of different weather today with the sunshine and the rain and back and forth. It's I don't see how people can look at the world and say that there is not a God when we see His power and everything round about us. Please open your Bibles to Matthew, and that's where we're going to be taking the lesson from this evening. We sing the song, "Does Jesus Care?" Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Jesus symbolizes compassion and mercy, and we need to understand what this means. Compassion is a translation of a word which means to love, show pity, be merciful. It means to spare. A phrase we don't use too often, to have the bowels of yearning, to suffer with another, bear gently with, to show mildness, kindness, to have pity or mercy. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" What is this bowels of compassion? What is this talking about? The bowels were being regarded as the seat of the body, the seat of the warm, tender emotions or feelings, our innermost beings. And that's where that phrase, bowels of compassion, comes from. Compassion literally is a feeling with and for others. And it's a fundamental and distinctive quality of, when we look in the Bible, of God. You aren't going to find compassion in a lot of gods of the world or other religion. Psalm 86:15 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." So we know there is only one true God, but the God of the Bible is a God full of compassion and grace and long-suffering. So this evening, let's look in the book of Matthew and see where these words are used interchangeably: mercy in some passages, compassion in others. And we'll look at some verses and try to glean some thoughts from that. So Matthew 9:13. "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." When Jesus starts off saying "learn," "but go and learn," obviously they had not studied enough. They had not learned what they should have learned. If Jesus is telling the Pharisees, "You go and learn," they hadn't understood this. There's a lesson there for us also. We need to go and learn what this means. This is a quotation from Hosea 6:6. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." But also, knowing what this says, knowing what it says and understanding it are two different things. again, compassion, an act of mercy, acts of compassion or righteousness. And Jesus is saying what God wanted all along for them was to reach out and help somebody. You can say you're compassionate all day long. You can say you have mercy all day long. But he's saying, reach out and help someone. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And this was what Jesus told the Jews in response to their insensitive questioning of his eating with the sinners. None of the Jewish leaders would have said that the sinners were not sick, but they would not be the ones to help them. The Pharisees didn't want to help these other people. And the Pharisees were very concerned about following the letter of the law. They would not break the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law, they neglected altogether. And he wants to get away, he wants them to get away from this heartless religion to a heartfelt religion. So you've got the letter of the law, you've got the spirit of the law. They were following the letter and not the spirit. Which should we do? Is it an either or? No, it's both. We've got to have both. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The sacrifice would have been a ritual that they had performed under the old law. And again, that would be following the letter of the law. But Jesus did not come to call the righteous. He came to call the sinners. He did not come to call the self-righteous Pharisees. He did not come to call them at all. He came to call those sinners who had a humble heart that would want to submit to Jesus and follow him. So he's coming to heal them. He's a doctor coming to heal their spiritual sickness. If a person is sick and they aren't willing to go to a doctor, they aren't going to be healed. These Pharisees weren't willing to go to Jesus to be healed. But friends, Jesus teaches us what compassion and mercy are. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Stop and think about this. And again, this word blessed, as we looked at this morning, it's happy, not because of external circumstances, but because we found favor with God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What's the opposite of that? If we are not merciful, we are not going to obtain mercy. If we are not compassionate, we are not going to obtain compassion from God. So I've got to ask myself, and you've got to ask yourself, when is the last time you were merciful? When is the last time you showed compassion? We've got to think about that. Because if we do not show mercy, we will not receive mercy. Merciful. A person who is merciful is one who gives or does something for another at no cost to the one who received it. It's directly connected to love and forgiveness. We do something not expecting to get something in return. We do it out of the goodness of our heart. And we cannot receive mercy unless we are merciful. So the merciful, those who do acts of charity for others, can expect to receive mercy for themselves. They shall receive mercy. That's by the kind of things that we do every day. And God will see to it that if they themselves will be merciful or receive mercy. So again, when is the last time that I showed mercy? Who did I show mercy to just this last week? And stop and think, if we were to die, if we were to step out into eternity tonight, if I were to step out into eternity and God said, Bruce, I want to show you mercy. You tell me who you showed mercy to last week. Who would I say? If he said, tell me who you showed mercy to last month, who would I say? And I'm not coming up with anybody. And he said, tell me who you showed mercy to in your lifetime. Would it be a short list or a long list? And when we look through Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27, Jesus departed from there. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. So we're going to notice throughout Matthew, when people are crying out, have mercy on us, we're going to notice that God hears the cries of our heart. And in John chapter 9, 39 through 41, after Jesus heals the man born blind, Jesus makes the statement about those who are truly blind. It's not those who cannot see with their eyes that are truly blind, but those who cannot see with their hearts, their spiritual eyes, they are spiritually blind. But notice in Matthew 9, 27, these two blind men followed him. How did they know that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of David? There was something about him that they recognized that he was the Son of God, even though they were blind. And they asked, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. They were asking to have their sight restored. And it's just, I find it interesting that these two blind men could recognize who Jesus was, but the Pharisees couldn't recognize who Jesus was. Why? Because they were spiritually blind. When we think back to Daniel chapter 9, one of the three great prayer chapters of the Old Testament, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 4. O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. All of the characters that are God-fearing in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that are godly, recognize that God is a God of mercy. And we have Daniel here praying, God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who loved him. Is there anybody here that doesn't need mercy? No, we all need mercy because we have all sinned. We all need compassion. Is that something that we're just entitled to? You know, I think when we look at this, we don't ask for mercy enough. We just take for granted that God's compassionate. He's a God full of mercy. So he's going to forgive us of our sins. And we don't have the heart that God wants us to have. You drop on down in Daniel chapter 9 to verse 16. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your people, because for our sins. You see, God has his anger directed toward us because of our sins. But again, God is merciful and compassionate. Verse 17. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplication, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on us. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds. We aren't coming to God in prayer because we are righteous, but because of your great mercies. That's the only way that we can approach God, is understanding the mercy that he has that allows us to do that. In verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and answer. We see God is such a great God, but we shouldn't take his compassion and mercy for granted. We need to ask for it. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 36, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. So we need to learn what compassion means. We need to understand it's that feeling with and for somebody, something they're going through, just like God has compassion and mercy on us. We need to learn what it means. We need to feel it. We can talk about emotions. We can say, I love this, I hate this, and we can say it and not feel either of those things. It's easy to say, I love this person, or I hate this, and just be neutral and not feel anything at all. It's the same thing with compassion. We can say, we're compassionate, I want to show compassion to you, I want to show mercy, but if we don't feel it, we are lacking that quality that God wants us to have. Because if I say, I love this, and I just pull something out of the air, I say, I love fishing, and you say, well, when's the last time you've gone fishing? Well, I think I was probably about 18 years old. Well, how much do I love fishing then? If I say I hate this and I'm doing it, how much do I hate it? So we have to learn what compassion means. We have to feel it. We have to be moved with it. And we read over and over through the book of Matthew, Jesus knew what it meant. He felt it, and he was moved with compassion. He was moved with it. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. This is an attribute of God, of Christ, and God desires compassion. And we see this again and again throughout the Gospel of Matthew. We turn to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 7. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. So we see Jesus repeating this again from the Old Testament. Hosea 6:6, and he mentioned it in Matthew 9:13. He's saying this is something that's obvious and you're missing it. It's obvious and you're missing it. The form is nothing if the heart is missing. The sacrificing on the altar to God is nothing if the heart is missing. Serving God today, coming here and sitting here in this building, is nothing if the heart is missing. It's nothing. Learn what this means. The Pharisees, they had condemned the innocent. The apostles were innocent. And when we looked about plucking grain on the Sabbath from Matthew chapter 12, and again, had his disciples broken the old law? They had not broken the old law, because under the old law, they were allowed to go and glean what was left there. They were allowed to eat of that. Now David, not to go over the sermon again, David had sinned when he went in and broke the Sabbath. But with Christ's disciples, they had not broken the old law. What had they broken? They had broken the tradition of the Pharisees. They had broken the tradition. And the Pharisees had no compassion on his disciples. David sinned. They let him skate. They didn't call him out. His disciples did not sin. And they jumped all over his disciples. When we go to Matthew 14:14, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And what does it say? And he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed the sick. When we see somebody in need, I have to ask myself, am I moved with compassion? Do I feel for them? And to back it up a bit, let's not talk about the person that's out asking for money or the person that needs clothes or food. Let's back it up a bit. When we are out and we go to a store and we see somebody and we know they are lost, do we show them compassion? Do we show them compassion? I think a lot of times we're too busy, we're in a hurry, we're late going here, we're late going there. I've got to get here and do this. Have we learned what it means? Do we feel compassion? Are we moved with compassion? Jesus is trying to teach something, and Matthew is repeating this over and over for us to understand. Jesus is very giving of himself. What do we say? And I'll say this, I'll admit to it. I need some time. I need some time to catch up on things. I'm too busy. Just leave me alone for a little bit and let me get caught up. Did Jesus ever say that? No. Now, there were times when he would want to get away from the crowds, from the multitudes. There were times, and I heard somebody make the point one time, when it got dark and Jesus said, look, there are all of these people out here. They still need to be taught. What did he say? Did he say, go get lamps and we'll go and we'll talk to everybody tonight? No, he'd go to sleep. I mean, he put in a day's work. He needed rest. We all do. But to say it a different way, a lot of times we miss the opportunity right in front of us because we're looking for an opportunity over here. And we need to stop and have compassion. Jesus, if anybody deserved time alone, and he would go out alone to pray to the Father, he had time to himself, but the multitudes just kept coming and coming to him. And he wouldn't say, I don't have time for him. He was moved with compassion. He did what he could to heal them. So Jesus knew what this meant, compassion and mercy. He knew what it meant, so he could tell them, you need to learn this. You need to learn what it means. You need to feel this in your heart. It's got to be in your bowels, in the innermost part of your body. It's got to be second nature to you to be compassionate. And again, just don't give it lip service. You need to be moved with compassion. Well, when you're moved with compassion, what do? You demonstrate it. You know, you see a small child and they're out playing and they fall down on rocks and scrape their knees or something and they're all skinned up and they're crying and hurt. What's the mother going to do? Is she going to sit back and say, oh, you're okay? What's she going to do? If she's compassionate, she's going to run over, pick up that little child, and see to that child's needs. demonstrating compassion. Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Are we to the point in recognizing our sin that we cry out to God and say, "Have mercy on me, have mercy on me"? Or do we just say a rote prayer every day, "Forgive us of our sins and forgive us of our sins and forgive us of our sins"? Or do we cry out to God and say, "Have mercy on me"? And again, this is a woman of Canaan, and she recognizes him, "Lord, Son of David." And again, what does the Son of God, when she cries out, we got to remember, God hears the cries of our heart. It needs to come from our heart, from our innermost being, and he's going to hear it, and he's going to do something. But this is astonishing. A Gentile woman outside of Palestine recognized Jesus and even called him Son of David and is begging for mercy. She wants him to do something for her. Again, back to our Wednesday night class when we've been looking at Ezra, and in Ezra chapter 9, and when he prayed to God in verse 6, and I said, "Oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you. My God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens." I'm too ashamed. When I cry out for mercy, I'm too ashamed to even look up to the heavens, to lift up my face to you, my God. For our iniquities have risen fuller than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to heavens. We need to have this attitude. We need to learn what this means. In Matthew 15, verse 32, "Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, 'I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.'" So again, Jesus recognizes the needs in others. They've gone with him for 3 days and they haven't had anything to eat. And he doesn't want to send them away hungry, lest they faint. Do we recognize the needs in others? If we don't, who's going to? We need to be merciful. Matthew chapter 17, verse 15. Lord, have mercy on my son. He suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. You know, anybody that's a parent that has a child, our heart ought to go out to this father. He has this son with a condition. He suffers severely. He falls into the fire, into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And again, we've talked about this. They didn't have enough faith. Jesus becomes somewhat irritated. Jesus answered them in verse 17, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." Something else we learn from this, and we talked about this in class this morning, Jesus had only a limited amount of time, and he knew it. And it was important for people to grow their faith so it would be strong. That's an interesting lesson. What's the application? We need to learn that we only have a limited amount of time. We need to grow our faith. God has work for us to do. Jesus had work for his disciples to do. and their faith was still down here, and it hadn't grown to where it should be. Verse 18, Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured. Matthew 18, compassion is mentioned a couple of times in verse 27 and in verse 33. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, moved and released him and forgave him the debt. Verse 33, would you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? You stop and think about this. As God, can you think of a time when God has shown you mercy or compassion just in everyday life? You know, maybe it was at work or at school or something. You know you deserve to get this, but somehow you got off. Somebody was merciful to you. Maybe you were driving your car and not paying attention to the speed, how fast you're going, and a policeman pulls you over, and he had the right to give you a ticket, but he knows you aren't from the area and you aren't familiar with the speed limit, and he says, I'll just give you a warning and I'll let you go this time. He's showing mercy. We deserve to get the ticket. And then we turn around and we see somebody else and they're doing something or they owe us something, and we jump all over them. People show mercy to us. We need to show mercy to others. God shows mercy to us. We need to show mercy to others. If we don't show mercy to others, what's going to happen? If we don't feel compassion for others, what's going to happen? God's not going to show mercy to us. God's not going to have compassion on us. He'll say, you knew the law, right here's the word, it's written down for you. You didn't do it. Why should I show you mercy? And who were you merciful to? In Matthew 20, there's another verse here, down in verse 34. I'm sorry. When we think about this, showing mercy, you know, God, one of the main reasons we are to show mercy to others is because we should reflect the image of God. We should mirror what God is like, so the world will see God, will see Christ living in us. Chapter 20, verse 30. Two blind men sitting on the road. Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Again, I find it interesting. Blind men can recognize who Jesus is, but a lot of the religious people cannot. Verse 31, the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And again, every time where we see that somebody cries out, God hears the cry of the heart. So I need to ask myself, again, what's the application? If I want mercy, I ought to cry out to God and ask for it. Chapter 20, verse 34. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. They followed him. Jesus was moved with compassion. He demonstrated compassion. And again, we cannot receive it if we do not give it. Let's look in Matthew 22, verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faith, these ought you to have done without leaving the others undone. So notice, does Jesus condemn the scribes and Pharisees for what they did? that he condemned them for what they were doing. And they were being very precise. We would say they were nitpicking. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Those are very small seeds, and they would want a tenth of that paid. Did he condemn them for that? No, he didn't condemn them for what they did. He condemned them for what they did not do. And what did they not do? They neglected the weightier matters of the law. They did not show justice. They did not show mercy. They did not have faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others done. The Pharisees failed to appreciate the importance of the temple and the items connected with it. They on a larger scale, failed to understand the spirit of the law, the heart of God. They set themselves in Moses' seat, making traditions and binding them on people, and they neglected what God wanted. God wanted justice, mercy, faithfulness. Psalm 41:1, again talking about blessed, like we looked at this morning. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of compassion. So back to where we started, Matthew 9:13. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call righteous but sinners to repentance. Friend, have you learned what mercy means? Have we learned it? We cannot, on the day of judgment, just mark it down. This tonight, you'll remember tonight when you're in the day of judgment, we won't forget a thing. We cannot receive mercy from God. We cannot expect him to be compassionate to us if we are not compassionate to others. If we do not feel their sad state of sin, how are we going to help them to get out of it? How are we going to do that? We must feel for them. And friend, if you are in sin tonight, you need to cry out to God. You need to cry out to God for mercy, just like these examples that we read about. And if you want to seek God's mercy, you got to do more than just cry out. You got to submit to what he says to do. You got to repent of your sins. You got to confess Christ as your Savior. You have to be buried in the waters of baptism so that you can be forgiven of your past sins. And then now you can live in a right relationship with God, and God will show compassion and mercy on you. Is there anybody that needs to do that? Is there anybody that needs to do that this evening? Why not do it right now and come forward as we stand and sing?